It's Colossians 4, verses 2 to 4, and that's on page 1184. So it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." That's it. I'll hand over to Chris.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I think you'll have some images that are going to stay with you for a while. I hope they don't traumatise you in your dreams, but certainly that image. The other part of that BBC clip's quite interesting, isn't it? Because the man that's having the operation on his brain is actually doing his PhD researching the use of lasers to operate on brains. So there's a bit of what you reap, you've sown, sort of going on there. Well, I want to take a short sidestep from our series. We've been through the summer thinking about encounters with Jesus, and we're going to be picking up again in 1 Corinthians after the harvest service next week. But I wanted to take the opportunity of just reflecting back to you some of the things that God's been saying. We worship a living God, don't we? And we worship a God, therefore, that when we pray, we don't just talk at God, but we expect God to speak back. And he does do that. He speaks back. The question is, do we listen? We will listen to what the Lord is saying amongst us. Very rarely do we hear God speak by an audible voice. I think I've had that experience twice in my entire Christian life. I've been a Christian for a fair while now. Twice I've heard just a couple of words audibly that God has spoken to me. Most of the time, we hear God through our regular Bible study, through impressions or thoughts that come into our mind, through the Bible teaching, through our worship together, or through the prophetic word where an individual in the congregation puts together those thoughts the Spirit's put in their minds and speaks them out. So that's how we hear God speaking to us. Well, I hope that over the past weeks, as I've labored over my messages, you've heard God speaking through the sermons. I hope too, somebody nod, I hope too that you've heard God for yourself in worship and in Bible reading, that you study the word yourself and hear God's message through that. A few weeks ago, we decided to dedicate some time in the service just to listening to God, and several individuals heard God for themselves, for their own lives. God is so gracious that when we give him time, he speaks. When we give him that space and dedicate time to listen, he speaks. He also spoke what I believe were some prophetic words through the congregation. And having tested these, as instructed in Scripture, I want to reflect them back to you, to reflect back to you what I believe the Lord's been saying. So, as we waited on God, a member of the congregation during that time shared what he believed the Lord had laid on his heart, that he was calling us to open the door of resistance. Open the door of resistance. It was brought quite tentatively and quite humbly, just a comment like that. Immediately, a member of our leadership team commented that she'd just been reading Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, which says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Well, the initial words that were spoken focused on the need for us to open the door of resistance, to open the way for God into our lives. It's very much where the flow of the service had been going, where the teacher had been going, where the worship was going. And I felt there was a strong resonance in the congregation at that time to say, yeah, actually, we need to do that. We need to be opening to God. And I think the scripture that followed hard behind that really gave further depth to and expanded the meaning of what had been said. Because Because just as God's calling us, calling you and I, to open the door of our heart, he reminds us that he's flung the door of heaven open. Jesus, the one who has the keys to open those things that no one can shut, has opened the doorway of heaven so that his door is open. And he's calling on us to open the door of our hearts. So we discover, as we open to God, he's already open to us. We're able to draw near to one another. There's no barrier between us and God. The verse went on to say that God knows that we have little strength. Now, that isn't me coming in and saying you have little strength. I'm just reflecting back to you what that verse says. We have little strength. Yet we've kept his word and not denied his name. Well, those words, as you know, were written 2,000 years ago to the church at Philadelphia. But the Spirit is able to take those words and apply them to Burwell Baptist Church in 2015. And I believe by bringing them spontaneously into that context, that's what he was doing. He knows we have little strength. We don't need to remind him that we have little strength, as if that's an excuse to not do what he calls us to. And his knowledge of our spiritual condition does not deter him from calling us. He doesn't think, oh, well, they've got little strength, I won't call them. He has a call. He understands our weakness and calls us all the same. His plans are not lessened by our weakness. Neither is our lack of strength an excuse for resisting God. He knows that we are weak. He also knows that we have not denied his name. That's what it tells us, that we have kept his word and not denied his name. So there's encouragement in that. I hope you find that encouraging. We have held to the word of God and not denied his name. But there's also a gentle rebuke in there, isn't there? Is that all we're aiming for? Just to hold the ground that we have and not deny him? Mightn't we be hoping for something more? That we might declare his name amongst the nations, rather than simply not denying his name when somebody presses us into owning up that we are a believer. So maybe there's a gentle rebuke in there as well. So when God brings a prophetic word like that, it's important that we stay with it and seek to understand what God's saying to us through it so that we can respond. Paul says that we shouldn't despise prophecy, and I think part of not despising prophecy is doing this, weighing it, thinking it through, checking it against Scripture, and then responding. So at the Monday night prayer meeting, we began to pray into this. I brought this prophetic word back to that Monday night meeting and shared some of what had been said. And now I want to share that what happened at that meeting back to you. Because whilst for a small church, that meeting is well attended and it's growing and it's a place where we are meeting God and sensing him moving quite excitingly. So if you've got time on a Monday night, do join us. But not all of you are there. So I want to feedback what was happening there. So I just shared very simply what had been said in the Sunday meeting. As we began to pray, one prayed that we would dare to take steps where we've never been before. We gave thanks for God's faithfulness and his relentless love. We prayed that as God opened to us, we might move beyond self-help to relying on God. One person spoke about seeing the Lord beyond the open door, not forcing his way into our lives, but beckoning us through so that our lives can be full of his love, care, and his spirit. As we went on in prayer, we prayed for those that God brought through the doors of the church and for our re-envisioning, refreshing, for our renewal. We prayed for discernment to see which fields were ripe for harvest. Well, as we continued on in prayer, and this is my practice, that as we're praying, I'm seeking God's direction as to how we should continue in prayer, how does he want us to pray. And passage came to my mind, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, the reading we heard earlier. I didn't remember where it came from, so I looked it up and I found it, Colossians 4, verse 2. And as I read on, I was astonished to discover that Paul goes on to say, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. So I believe the Spirit was directing us to pray that we might move beyond simply holding on to not denying his name, to proclaiming the mystery of Christ, that God would open a door. So knowing that we're weak, nevertheless, he calls us to pray for an open door for our message, and that we should proclaim it clearly. So, we're called to open our door. The door of heaven already stands open. And now we're called to pray for an open door into the world for the message of the gospel. And to pray that we might proclaim it clearly as we should. Okay, I've tried to put that together in a few simple pictures. So, the first, I always end up breaking something when I'm using this, but, there we are. The first door, then, is this doorway to heaven. The door that the Lord Jesus went through and he opened for us through his death and resurrection, so that there is now an open door between us and the Father. The second, the doorway to our heart. Many of you will have seen the painting by Holman Hunt that pictures Jesus standing at the door of our heart, knocking on the door, no handle on the outside. We have to open the door to the Lord. The third door, the door to the world, the door that Paul speaks about here. And he says that this door, we ask God to open for us. So the first one, the authority is all God's. He does all of that work. The second one, we have power to resist God or to comply with God. And the third one, he's given us authority in the world through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world. And he's given us authority to pray that that door would be opened. So that's why Paul asks people to pray. Because he says, actually, it's down to you to pray so that God might open that door. So, this was a picture of some church doors that I have used as an illustration of the doorway of heaven. I rather like this because it sort of suggests what it might be like otherwise, that the church might be giving all the right messages out about what the gospel's about, the cross and all these different people coming to faith, but the doors are shut. The doors are shut. But God says that's an open door from him. When we move beyond the doorway of heaven, there's then the doorway of our own hearts. Will we open that door or keep it closed? The door of resistance. So the message can come from heaven to the heart, but God won't force his way through into our lives. We need to choose to open the door. When we've opened that doorway, the Spirit can come into our lives, but he doesn't make an impact out through our lives into the world until that third door is opened. And that, I think, is where God's saying we're at. We're beginning to open the door into our hearts, but we need now to pray for that doorway to be opened out into the world. This was a picture just of that sort of situation where all the gateways were open and I could see straight through the centre of the town and out through to the other side. That image of the Word of God, the mystery of Christ coming down through God, through us and out into the world, clearly heard and clearly proclaimed. I've doctored this a little bit, but you can see the three doorways open so that Christ can be seen clearly through the doorways. I'm hammering this home. I'm hoping it's getting there. So that Jesus can be seen right there at the door of the unbeliever. Then, of course, there's that fourth door. They then have a choice. will they open the door to the Lord and continue that process? So this is what I believe the Lord's been saying to us, that he then calls for us to respond to. And I wanted to give time to do that this morning. So following the message, we're going to give time in prayer and worship to continue to respond. Here are the things that if you perchance dropped off at some point during that, to remind you that we need to open the door of resistance. We need to recognize the open door to God's presence. And we're praying for God to open a door for us to proclaim the message clearly, as we should. So we're going to give some time to do that, to do those things. It may be that this morning you particularly need to deal with that issue of opening the doorway of resistance in your own heart. But more likely, most of the time is going to be open to God, just hearing exactly how we should pray for that door to be opened. What will that mean in the different way that we respond to people and preparing ourselves for their change in response? You see, I found this a number of times. As we pray and God changes things, we carry on behaving as if things haven't changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God does a miracle. He changes somebody else's heart and their receptivity to the word, and we keep behaving as if they're resistant to the word. So we need to change the way we behave in the light of God changing the situation. So I'm going to give some time to that. If a scripture comes to mind, or you might have a word from God, please be brave and come and share it. If you're not sure, you want to test that, whether it's just for you or for the wider church, come and test that with me. I should be down here at the front. Yeah, you may not be used to this sort of open-ended time of worship. And as I said last time, if you need to go at some point, just don't feel awkward about getting up and going. Just go. If you have a duty to perform at the end and you need to get away, come and tell me and I'll make sure somebody does it. If you're desperate to go to the loo and come back. Okay? Don't feel that you have to be awkward about it. But we want to give time and space to hear God and to respond. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the living God, the one who has conquered death. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to your church. You speak today. We ask now, Holy Spirit of God, that you would come, center our hearts and minds upon you. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, that as your word has gone forth today, that where it is true and echoes accurately with what you are speaking, that men and women's hearts will warm to your word. We ask, Lord, that you would bring to the forefront of their minds those scriptures that are from you to confirm in their own hearts what you're saying. We ask you will show us what this means for us as a church and for us as individuals. We invite you now, Holy Spirit of God, to come to soften our hearts, to open our hearts and minds to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.